When it comes to investing, retirement, taxes, healthcare, and estate planning, the decisions you make today can greatly affect the quality of life for you and your loved ones tomorrow. What you need is straight and unbiased information on the most important issues you'll face when planning for your retirement and financial future. Good news! You found the Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout. Grant is the founder of Dorhout Retirement Services, and he's been guiding people financially and into retirement for nearly 20 years. So get ready for an hour of the most comprehensive financial information on the radio. It's time for the Retirement Blueprint. And now, here are your hosts, Grant Dorhout and Jeff Shea.
Good morning and welcome to the Retirement Blueprint, the show that gives you the straight talk and honest answers you need to reach your wealth management and retirement goals through smart investing and careful planning. On today's show, we're going to be talking about what a reverse mortgage is, how does it work, and what are the pros and cons. We'll also be talking about 20 costly mistakes that people make at the beginning of retirement, and if we have time, which type of retirement accounts is likely to run dry. My name's Jeff Shade, and as always, I'm just here to ask the questions, but the words of wisdom and solid advice come from Grant Dorhout, founder and wealth advisor of Dorhout Retirement Services right here in Omaha. Hey, Grant, how you doing today?
I'm better than I deserve. I know I've said that before on this radio show, and you've given me a little flack for that, but I am better than I deserve. I know that there's another radio talk show host that says that every time.
But, he does it.
But yeah, wonderful morning here in Omaha. Just excited to share what we got today. Some different topics. The reverse mortgage, we typically don't talk about that a bunch, but this is getting to be a more common theme that I'm hearing. So excited to go through this one.
Yeah, likewise, too. And by the way, you do deserve to be very well. So let's just put it right there. I hope our listeners are doing well today, too. Certainly glad you could join us here for a radio program each and every Saturday morning here in News Talk 1290 COIL. Yeah, Grant, this was one of those ones from last week that we didn't get to. And often, you know, we sort of bite off more than we can chew. So we're going to try to get to all of these today. But I want to talk about that a little bit because people do come in occasionally and ask about reverse mortgages. So let's break it down in its most simple form here. What is a reverse mortgage?
Yeah, so I actually just had a new client that came to me and they said that their old advisor said, yes, in your situation, this is a great idea to utilize this reverse mortgage. And they asked my opinion and we were transferring some money for them. And I said, well, a reverse mortgage it's just a mortgage. You're just doing it the backwards way of the way that someone that is in their 20s does it. When you're in your 20s, obviously you don't have any money. You go out, you put your down payment down and then you pay down that mortgage. And then when you get to the point that you have no debt, well, you can access your home's equity. If you have a $400,000, $500,000, or $600,000 home, you can go to a company that will start giving you your money back, or they'll give you a big lump sum of cash that represents that equity that you have in the home, kind of a cash out refi or something like that. So it's just a mortgage. You're just doing it backwards of the way that people typically think of a mortgage.
So why would someone not want to do a reverse mortgage? We'll start with why someone may not want to do a reverse mortgage before we talk about some of the reasons that somebody would want to do a reverse mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first thing that I think of for this couple that just came in, I said to them, well, I will look at a reverse mortgage as an option. I'm never going to tell you that, yes, you absolutely need to access your home's value in a reverse mortgage because there's a lot of complications. They've gotten a lot better than they were, say, 10 years ago. However, I told them right now, the interest rates are very prohibitive. So right now, I would not recommend in their situation. I'm not saying that someone that's listening to this program shouldn't do it because I don't know their situation. This particular couple, I know their situation. And for them, I just said, hey, we have other funds that we can access. You're still working. You're going to be able to take Social Security. We can access the funds that we have invested to create your retirement income. As a last resort, then you can consider utilizing that if we've exhausted all other measures in terms of creating a retirement income plan with the usage of our investment portfolios or potentially annuities or something like that, maybe bond portfolios that can give them the income. But if we get to the end of that income plan and then that's still not enough on a monthly basis, that's where someone in this situation could consider utilizing a reverse mortgage and maybe creating a little bit more monthly income for their retirement goals.
And if you do a mortgage, a traditional mortgage, of course, there are usually closing costs and fees. Are there the same closing costs and fees with a reverse mortgage? Is that a reason why you may not want to do one of these?
Well, yeah, very similar to when you get your mortgage, Jeff. You've had a mortgage before, right? Have you ever priced it out? You've priced it out with multiple people, I'm assuming, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes, I've done the exact same thing, and I've gotten different answers. If I go to Wells Fargo or U.S. Bank or maybe a private lender here in Omaha, you're going to get very different numbers from different sources. So it's no different in the reverse mortgage area. There can be very high closing costs and fees associated with the loan. You have to make sure that you are very diligent in your research and making sure that you are not overpaying, because if you just call up the first one that you see that has maybe Tom Selleck on it or some other celebrity that's selling this on TV, they got to pay him. So that might be the one that you say, okay, I'm going to get some ideas. I'm going to get some numbers from them. Maybe I'm not going to commit to that one right off the bat. Make sure you get it from multiple lenders, just like if you're doing your due diligence on getting a regular mortgage.
Right. So I guess the advice here is to shop around if you're thinking about a reverse mortgage. Also, the loan can come due for several reasons, right?
Yeah, Jeff, that's very, very concerning one with the reverse mortgage industry. Like I said earlier, they've gotten a lot better and a lot more friendly, but there are still ones out there that you could have the loan come due. And this could be very problematic. What if we have someone that's in their mid-70s that they take out a reverse mortgage? And if you do it in the wrong way, what if they are told at age 76 or age 80 or age 85, hey, that loan's due, come back and pay us for this. And if you can't pay us for this, well, then you're forced to sell your home. That is a very big concern of mine with reverse mortgages, that people could be taken advantage of. That's just a very concerning part of it. Again, I'm not saying that they're bad for all people, but they're definitely not good for all people too.
And a reverse mortgage does excuse you from certainly mortgage payments, but you still do have some obligations on that home in order to keep that reverse mortgage in force.
Yeah, absolutely. Your taxes aren't going to change and you're going to be still having to pay the insurance on the home. And there are certain ones out there where you may be able to, or you may be forced to actually pay back that interest at, you know, the fifth or the 10th year. You got to be careful about how these things are structured if you're going to take one out.
We're talking about reverse mortgages with Grant Dorhout of Dorhout Retirement Services. Grant, what are some of the other reasons that one would not want to consider a reverse mortgage? I mean, what are some of the reasons that people come to you and say, I want a reverse mortgage because I want to do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a big one that I've had over the years. Now that interest rates are higher, I'm not having this one as much, but I've had it, you know, in the past where people said, you know what, we have 2 or 3% interest rates on mortgages or 4% interest rates on mortgages. What if we just do a big cash out on a reverse mortgage and we cash all this money out and we come and we invest, you know, maybe $200,000 in the market with you, Grant? And I would say, in my opinion, I would never do that. I would never tell someone to go into debt so that we can invest money for them. That to me just is a big no-no. And I know that there are some people that would encourage people to do that, but I would never go down that road.
Well, Grant, if our listeners are still not deterred about a reverse mortgage, they're still considering it, let's talk about some of the requirements for a reverse mortgage. There are age and equity requirements, right?
Yeah, Jeff, first off, you have to be 62 years old or older. So someone's 43 years old, if I had my mortgage paid off, I wouldn't be able to go do this. And I shouldn't be able to, because I should continue working, quite frankly. But you have to have enough equity in your home. You have to be careful on that. If you have a 75% loan to value on your home, you're not going to be able to do it. You have to have at least 50% home equity. You have to do some counseling through the Department of Housing and Urban Development to make sure that you are making the sound decision. There's different financial assessments to make sure that you're in the best position to be successful with this transaction, making sure that's not putting you in a bad position. And you have to have it as your primary residence. If you have something that is a rental property or someone that uses a VRBO or something like that, you wouldn't be able to do a reverse mortgage in that sense and create additional retirement income from something like that. I'm not saying someone would want to do that, but there are certain restrictions you have to be mindful of.
And it can't be a manufactured home, and it also can't be a mobile home. I'm not sure about condominiums, but nevertheless, there are some requirements to get a reverse mortgage as far as the structure goes. Let's talk about the different types of payouts. Can you get a lump sum? Basically, what are some of the options?
Yeah, the first one's a lump sum. I just covered this a second ago. I know some people out there would say, yeah, go ahead and take out a lump sum and then invest that money with me. I would never encourage someone to do that. I don't think that this is the best option for people, partially because you are accessing a large amount of cash that you don't need at this point. You know, if you need to satisfy an income need, like I had painted just before with this new client of ours, if I need to satisfy an income need of $500 or $600 or $1,000 a month, why would I say, yeah, go ahead and take $300,000 out right now and start paying interest or have that interest accrue on $300,000. To me, that does not make the most sense, okay? So I would be looking more at the second one, which would be a monthly term payment. So it, you might have a monthly payout that's $500 a month that it'll pay you out that $500 or $1,000 or $1,500 a month. If you choose to get these payments, it's probably going to go over the next 10 years or they're going to pay you for the next 120 months. Mm-hmm. After that time, though, then it's going to be no more payments. It'd be very similar to if you had taken a lump sum of cash and you put it into a single premium immediate annuity for a 10-year period certain. You put the money in there, it pays you X amount of dollars for that 10 years. Once that 10 years is done, you no longer get any payments. The difference between the annuity and this monthly term on the reverse mortgage is very simply that the interest is going to continue to accrue on those proceeds for the rest of your life or until you actually sell that home, okay? So you also have some monthly 10-year payment options where you're going to receive monthly installments. It's going to go throughout the life of your loan. So this one can go a little bit longer, could be a little bit more friendly. It also could be on the flip side where it's a little less friendly. So just be careful on what the terms are on that one. And then the last one that I'm going to go through is the line of credit. Mm-hmm. This one, I believe, is going to be the best option if someone's going to look at this as an option for their retirement needs, because it gives you flexibility. I love flexibility. If I need $500 a month, but then I have a trip that I need to pay for that's $2,500, or if I have a child that needs some help, then I can access $2,500 on this type of loan instead of just the $500 per month. And then, of course, Jeff, you can always do a combination of any of those if your loan will allow it.
What about taxation on a reverse mortgage, Grant?
Yeah, good question. A lot of people are going to think, well, man, I hear all this stuff about taxes going up. Is this going to give me another problem? And no, it's not. There is no taxation because it is a loan.
All right, so that's the long and short of reverse mortgages. We're talking about them with Grant Dorhout here of Dorhout Retirement Services. And I basically think that, Grant, what you're telling me is your consensus is that it does exist, but only in an extreme case would you want to consider a reverse mortgage. Is that about right?
Yeah, especially with the interest rates today. It's become much less likely that we would say, yes, you can go ahead and consider that. Even if interest rates go back to 3%, Jeff, I personally am going to exhaust all other options because I really don't want to encourage someone that has achieved what a lot of people think is the American dream of owning your own home. You really own this piece. This is what you have. I really don't want to go back into debt when it's not a necessity. It's going to be an absolute necessity that there is no other option for someone where I would say, okay, now you can go ahead and consider the home equity line of credit or something like that on a reverse mortgage.
Grant, before we continue, I want to take just a very brief moment here to remind our listeners how they can have a conversation with you to ask their questions about reverse mortgages or anything else that applies to their retirement journey. If you want answers, then request your no cost, no obligation, no judgment Dorhout Retirement Blueprint by calling 402-281-0750. Even though it is the weekend, you can give that number a call. Simply leave your name and your telephone number, and Lisa will give you a call back in the near future, probably within about a business day or so, to set you up with an appointment with Grant. Once again, that telephone number for your complimentary, no cost, no obligation, no judgment, Dorhout Retirement Peace and Retirement Blueprint, it's 402-281-0750. Go ahead and give that number a call this weekend. What have you got to lose? This one call could make all the difference. You can also request your plan online at dorhoutretirementservices.com. That's D-O-R-H-O-U-T retirementservices.com.
Want more strategies to support the quality of life you want for 30 plus years? Stick around. There's more Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout in just a moment. You can't start a trip you've never taken without a plan. And you can't start your retirement journey without a comprehensive plan to get there safely. To request your no-cost, no-obligation Dorhout Retirement Roadmap, call 402-281-0750 or request it online at dorhoutretirementservices.com. Now, back to more of Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout and Jeff Shade.
Thank you so much for making us a part of your weekend. Of course, my name is Jeff Shade, along with Grant Dorhout. This is the Retirement Blueprint. We're here for you every week here on News Talk 1290 COIL for your fiscal fitness, your financial education. We talked about reverse mortgages in the first part of the program. If you did miss that, we're also a podcast. Go to wherever you get your podcast and search for the Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout. You'll find this show and all of our past shows so you can stay on top of your journey towards a confident retirement. Okay, Grant, this is going to be an interesting segment here, probably several segments to the show here. We're going to be talking about costly mistakes that people make at the beginning of retirement. The first one, I think when people get retired, they think that they absolutely have to relocate. I don't know why they think that, but I'm retired. I've got to relocate. So I want to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of different reasons why people think that they need to do that. One would be taxation in Nebraska. It's not overly friendly for retirees from a taxation perspective. I've seen that. But I've also seen, hey, you know what? We have a 4,500 square foot home. Yeah. We need to get into a 2,000 square foot home or something like that. Maybe my kids live somewhere else. That one I would say is a more legit one than a taxation or the fact that we just need to downsize, because you got to keep in mind that, you know, you might have a 30 or 40 year old home that's 4,500 square feet. You go to a new 2,000 square foot or 2,500 square foot home, you might not actually save that much money.
Right.
So I actually had one that just popped into my head, Jeff. They thought that it was a good idea for them to go live in the Dominican, and they thought that they were going to be able to live on next to nothing.
Right.
I cautioned them. I said, you know what? You have a pretty good deal going. They had a work from home job.
Yeah.
Right here. They actually lived in Plattsmouth. They had a work from home job where he was making over $100,000 a year, and they weren't actually able to save very much. That's what they were really living on.
Right.
And they thought that they were going to go to the Dominican, rent a place and live there, and it was only going to cost them about $3,000 per month. And so he was going to give up this job. So they went to the Dominican, and lo and behold, 1 year later, they were back here because they realized that they couldn't live on what they thought they could. So be sure, if you're going to make a permanent move like that, he gave up a very good paying job in order to retire in the Dominican. And ultimately, they didn't heed the advice that I gave them. And it wasn't a good thing for them to just jump ship because they said, you know what, I don't want to work anymore. I think I can live in the Dominican and do it really cheap. So then it's okay. Be very careful. If you're going to relocate, don't go and buy something somewhere
right.
else before you know. You know, you can go rent something. And then if you really like the community, if it's something that you really want to be a part of for the rest of your life, then go ahead and buy something if that's what you choose. But be very careful if you're going to do that. Don't just jump ship just because you think you retire. You got to move.
Next one is downsizing your home. Okay, the kids are out of the house. Mm-hmm. I've got to downsize the home. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this because a lot of people think that, you know what, hey, this is a way that I'm really going to get ahead. If you start selling your home, let's say you have a huge run-up, if you've had a ton of capital gains, this could be an issue. Most people that I've met with lately, it's not an issue, but this could be an issue with the capital gains exclusion that you have. If you make over $500,000 on a couple or $250,000 for a single in your personal residence, you could have to pay some capital gains on that gain. Not only that, if I look at, you know, if my three kids leave our home, we're not in all likelihood going to move. I'm just going to turn the furnace down in the basement where my kids predominantly spend their time, and we predominantly spend our time upstairs. Well, on the main floor, well, then I'm going to pay to heat the main floor. I'm going to cool it down in the basement. And if the kids come back, well, then I have their rooms that they can stay in. If they end up moving away from the Omaha area, they can come back, and then I can just turn the heater back on rather than going from a 4,000, 4,500 square foot home to a 2,000 or 2,500 square foot home. It may be able to lower the expenses, but it may not achieve really what you're looking for long term. I alluded to that in the last one, but in terms of downsizing your home, think long and hard before you do that. A way that I think it does make sense is, let's say if we have someone that's in their mid-70s or later 70s, maybe even 80 years old, and they don't want to do any of the yard work, and they don't want to, if they have multiple acres like we do, if they say, you know what, I don't want to pay for that to be done anymore and I can't do it anymore, if they need low maintenance or no maintenance living, selling their home and then moving into a condo where they have all lawn care, all snow removal, all of those types of services that are included in their affiliation in there, that's a way that I could say, you know what, I can get on board with that as long as they haven't made enough that it's going to cause them to have a huge capital gains tax consequence that they're going to assume. Then we would say, you know what, go ahead and do that. If they're going to get that capital gains consequence, then we would just think, you know what, okay, is this worth it at that point? Don't just do it because you think you need to.
Yeah, and if you move into a condo and you've got all of those amenities, you do pay for that. Take a look at those HOA fees. Maybe they can be $300-$500 a month in order to do that. So you may not be saving much money by downsizing your home. And as you said, you're worried about heating and cooling those rooms. Just shut the door. That'll be the very easy answer for you. We're talking about some costly mistakes that people make before retirement. Next one here is going to be planning to work into your retirement years. Why could that be a costly mistake, do you think?
It depends on the job, because if there's something that, if it's a physical job, you're going to find that you're not going to be able to do that as long as you want to. I encourage people, if they don't have hobbies, if they don't have really things that they're really invested in, or churches or charities that they want to be involved in, I encourage them to find something to do, and it may be a part-time job, but I believe it is a mistake to go into retirement with the goal that, hey, I'm going to work. I'm going to continue to work. I'm going to get my Social Security at 67 or at 70, but I'm going to continue to work full-time. I don't like that as an option. I like it as a part-time option if someone doesn't have the hobbies. So I would not plan on maintaining the health, or employer downsizing could be an issue. Or, you know, what if you have a job where your skills become outdated? You can't control that.
Right.
You know, something that you maybe did for the last 30 or 40 years. What if the job just completely changes? I found that people aren't, you know, the best at learning new things. You know, the old dog learning new tricks analogy that we've heard many times.
Yeah.
That could become an issue as well. So as a part-time issue, I'm okay with working in retirement years with flexibility. But from a full-time standpoint, I'd try and stay away from that.
And if you are going to work into retirement years, do something that you enjoy. Let's say that you had a hobby of riding bicycles or something like that. Maybe you have a part-time job in a bike shop, something that you really enjoy, but think twice if you're planning on working into retirement. Next possible mistake that people make, Grant, is taking Social Security benefits too early. Why could that be a problem?
This is a huge one that I've seen messed up, where people actually just don't know the rule. They think, hey, I'm 62, I can take my Social Security. I want to take it as early as possible because I want to get as much money as possible because I paid into it all these years and I deserve to get that out. And I completely agree. But if you take it at 62, prior to your full retirement age, you can only make so much. I believe the number is 17,000. I think it's 17,400 this year, if I remember right. No, 17,040, sorry. But if you take it too early, you can't continue to work full time. It's only going to be a part-time job. If you're wondering what your full retirement age is, you're going to be looking at someone between 1943 and 1954 as your birth year. The full retirement age is 66. For someone after 59, it's actually increased up to 67. So you can increase your benefits substantially if you just continue to let it ratchet up from 62 all the way to your full retirement age. If you retire fully at age 65 and your income plan requires you to take Social Security at that time, that's totally fine to do, but you got to do a lot of planning before you make that determination and that decision.
And continuing to work while taking Social Security there could be another problem too. There's an earnings cap if you're taking Social Security and working, isn't there, Grant?
Yeah, I got ahead of myself in the last one, actually, when I said that. The earnings cap is $17,040. That if you go over and above that, if you're between 62 and your full retirement age, whether it's 66 or 67, if you go over that $17,040, for every $2 that you earn over that annual income limit, you're going to lose a dollar in benefits. Now, there is a caveat to this that a lot of people don't know, that you will give those back. But once you reach full retirement age, you will get a certain percentage of that back, and it's based on the rest of your life. So it will get added back in. There's not a real guarantee that you're going to get all of it back because we don't know how you're going to live, but that is definitely something that you have to consider. Something else to note there, Jeff, is during the year that you reach full retirement age, that income limit does increase up to $45,360. Mm-hmm. And if you go over and above that, for every $3 you earn, you're going to give one of those dollars back. Again, that dollar that you would give back would go back into your Social Security over the rest of your life once you reach full retirement age.
And the good news is that after you reach full retirement age, that limit does disappear. And if you're, let's say your full retirement age is 67, once you get to be 67, you can make as much as you want. But consider that. We're talking with Grant Dorhout here of Dorhout Retirement Services. We're talking about common mistakes that people make just before retirement. The next one is going to be carrying debt. Now, there's good debt and there's bad debt, Grant. So I want you to expand on that.
Yeah. So as a rule, I want to have everyone get into retirement with no debt. That's a general rule. If we can't get there, the things that I'm going to be okay with having, as long as we have pensions, Social Security, maybe annuity payments that can cover all of the expenses, things that I would consider okay debt or good debt would be if you have a mortgage. Let's say if someone purchased a house, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, if they took that mortgage out, well, they're probably at a 2 or 3% interest rate and their payment is probably manageable. It's pretty low. That's something that I'm okay with working into an income plan. Something I'm not okay with working into an income plan is credit card debt.
Yeah.
That's kind of a hard line in the sand that I will tell people. Mm-hmm. If you have a credit card that you have not paid off, we need to work on a couple of things. One, we need to get that balance paid off. Yeah. And two, we need to work on the habit that got the credit card balance. If there is a balance, how are we going to change our behavior so that we're not going to have credit card debt? Because these interest rates are absolutely astronomical now, Jeff. Some of them are 19, 20, 25, 30%.
Oh,
I
yeah.
saw one the other day that was 29.99%.
That's crazy.
This is absolutely ridiculous. You cannot go into retirement with that type of debt. But if you have a mortgage and we have reliable income sources to cover it, that I'm okay with.
Yeah, and if you do have credit card debt or debt in general, I would suggest that you make a list of that debt. Start with the largest one at the top and then the smallest one at the bottom and use that snowball effect. You may take as much money as you can and pay off the one that has the smallest balance. And then once you've paid that off, take the money that you would have used to pay that off and then pay the next one off, and the next one off before you've got it all paid off. That is the snowball effect. The avalanche method would be to take the one with the highest interest rate and knock that one down first. But you're right, 25, 26, 27% interest on credit cards is quite common today. So we're talking about some common mistakes that people make before they get into retirement with Grant Dorhout here of Dorhout Retirement Services. And Grant, I would imagine that based on our conversation today that people may have some questions to ask you and maybe some suggestions that you have for them about how to avoid making these common mistakes. If that is you, you want to talk to Grant on a one-to-one basis and ask the questions that you need to have answered to put you on a path towards a confident retirement, I want you to call this number right now, 402-281-0750. It's 402-281-0750. You're thinking to yourself, well, why do I want to call that number this weekend? Well, I'll tell you why, because as I said, it's a complimentary conversation, no cost, no obligation with Grant to sit down on an individual basis and basically get some counseling, so to speak, about your path towards a confident retirement. Once again, it's not going to cost you anything. And of course, there is never an obligation whatsoever with Grant here at Dorhout Retirement Services. So go ahead, give that number a call this weekend, 402-281-0750. Leave your name and your telephone number. Lovely Lisa will give you a call back during the week and she'll set up an appointment for you that is convenient for you to sit down and have a conversation with Grant. 402-281-0750. You can also request your complimentary Peace and Retirement Blueprint online at DorhoutRetirementServices.com. It's DorhoutRetirementServices.com.
Want more talk about sustaining your wealth and thriving in a retirement that could last 30 plus years? Stay tuned for more Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout after this. Ready to climb a mountain of financial know-how? Good, because it's time for more Retirement Blueprint with your financial Sherpas, Grant Dorhout and Jeff Shea.
We so much appreciate you joining us each and every Saturday for the Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout here on News Talk 1290 COIL. My name is Jeff Shade, and in this segment, we're talking about some of the mistakes that people make before retirement. We've talked about carrying debt, claiming Social Security early, just all sorts of things. If you've missed that part of the program, once again, we are a podcast. Go to wherever you get your podcast, search for the Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout. You'll find this show and all of our past shows so you can stay on top of your journey towards a confident retirement. Next one on the list, Grant, in terms of mistakes is not using home equity as an income source. Is this a mistake or not, do you think?
Yeah, this is interesting that we follow up carrying debt and saying, hey, we don't want debt, but then using home equity to go back into debt. This kind of leads me back into our first segment when we talk about reverse mortgages. If you're going into retirement, I would not suggest using your home equity as an income source. However, this part, I like that you bring this up, because later on in retirement, if someone's 70, 75 years old, getting older where working isn't an option, maybe inflation's just got a hold of them or something like that, that's where they could utilize their home's equity, hopefully as a home equity line of credit from a reverse mortgage standpoint or something like that, where they have flexibility. That is an option where, you know, I've seen it before where people don't consider that reverse mortgage as an option and they just sell their home and they get themselves into a worse spot than if they would have utilized a reverse mortgage. So you got to consider that, consider all of these things and get good solid advice. If you're not thinking all of the angles or thinking of all of the ways that you can make your retirement work, someone else can help you through that. And your home equity might be a source that you could or should utilize.
So that may or may not be a mistake. It just depends upon your own individual situation. Next one on the list, Grant, is not planning for long-term care. Boy, I think that may be one of the biggest mistakes that people make.
Yeah, it is. And I just was talking about this. I do these public dinner seminars as well, where I talked to 30 people this week, and I was telling them about long-term care and the fact that when you have someone that reaches age 65, we have a 70% chance of needing long-term care, whether it be home health care, assisted living, or community care, adult daycare, full-blown nursing care, all of those areas, you have a 70% chance of utilizing it. Think about it from your car's standpoint. If you said, Jeff, I'm going to go to the grocery store today, but you know what? I tell you, there is a 70% probability that you're going to get in a car crash and you're going to total your car and it's going to cost you $25,000. And then I followed it up and said, Jeff, you know what? You just lost your insurance. You don't have insurance on that car, that $25,000 car. Would you ever get in the car and go to the supermarket? No, you wouldn't do that today. You would actually make sure that you have it covered before you would probably go to the supermarket tomorrow. Those things is what I think about when I cover for long-term care. And I'm not telling people that they have to purchase long-term care insurance, but you do have to plan for how you're going to pay for it. People have told me for years, I'm going to self-insure. That's the improper terminology. We're going to self-fund. How are we going to plan for it? What bucket of money is allocated towards paying for that? You have to plan for it. I know we don't want to admit that it's a reality, but it is a very real thing that you have to plan for in retirement.
And there are basically two very costly things that you'll need to face in retirement. One, of course, is taxes, but the other would be paying for health care. I think two of the most expensive things. Next on the list, Grant, is the lack of estate planning documents. This is another big mistake that people make.
This is a huge one. I've alluded to this before that, you know, my parents years ago, and this isn't a knock on my parents at all. I just think it's kind of a funny story that when I was in my later teen years that, you know, my parents said something about their will and that, yeah, we got to get that updated. I don't even think Grant's in the will. That's probably a little too long to wait to update your documents. So making sure that you have up-to-date wills. And if you have a trust, make sure that the trust actually is accurate as to what your wishes are. If it's a revocable trust, if it's an irrevocable trust, hopefully you got it done right the first time. But having these estate planning documents, what we do for our clients is we actually have something called the client experience where they log in through my website. And if someone wants to look where that's at, they can go to www.doorhoutretirementservices.com and they can click in the top right corner where it says client login. And then it shows the client experience where you can actually go in and we can upload someone's wills and their trusts, all of their updated documents right there where everything is. And we can review that with clients. Most people don't have the most up-to-date wills and trusts, though, so this is something that you're going to want to check out with your attorney, with your financial advisor. Make sure you have everything taken care of because you don't want to overlook this part because it could leave a big headache for those that you leave behind.
These are common mistakes that people make before getting into retirement. That's our topic here with Grant Doorhout of Doorhout Retirement Services right here in Omaha. Once again, our telephone number, 402-281-0750, 402-281-0750. Next on the list here, Grant, is not revisiting your investment strategy.
Yes, this is huge. I mean, I've heard for years that 4% rule that, hey, if I just take out 4% of my nest egg once I hit retirement, I should be okay because I should be able to make more than 4% in the market. Just leave everything as is. And if the market goes up, I'll make more than I'm withdrawing. And if the market goes down, it'll come back good enough that I can make it up on my withdrawal strategy. I think that's a colossal mistake. I believe that you absolutely have to have a different strategy going into retirement. And if you actually have your income plan taken care of, it's going to allow you to invest in a completely different way. You can take different risks in the market. And when I say that, Jeff, I'm not saying get risky in the market. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you can take a different risk in the market if you have a solid income plan. And this is part of it. Revisiting that investment strategy is part of creating that properly constructed income plan we talk about all the time.
Next on the list here, Grant, is going to be being too conservative with investments.
Yeah, this is a huge one too. I mean, you have to have a balance. A lot of times people think, oh, risk of the market, so I'm just going to pull all my chips off the table. I think I talked about this new client of mine that I met with several weeks ago, and she came in and her husband was very risk averse. And as a result of that, she was more okay with risk. Well, she put her money all in the fixed account. And for the last 15 years, this money has sat in that fixed account because after her husband passed away, she just never changed things. And this was just a situation where she had missed a huge run up since 2008 in the stock market. And it was basically just because she just didn't know what to do, so she just didn't. And luckily, we got her on the right path now. But don't just go and say, you know what, I'm going to put all my money in the bank because the interest rates are good now, and I'm going to leave the money in CDs. Because if interest rates go down, well, I'm not going to have as good of a rate of return. You got to make sure you have different buckets for different purposes. If you're looking at money that's 10 years from now money, I can go more aggressive with that, or even looking at more of a growth mentality. But if I need the money in the next 2 years, it's okay to be conservative with that money. Just don't be so conservative with the money you don't need for the next 5 to 10 or 10 plus years.
And converse to being too conservative with your retirement investments is being too risky in your retirement investments. And as you get older, I would imagine that risk tolerance is something that goes down a bit.
It absolutely does. I've seen it time and time again, though, Jeff, and this is where I've said it multiple times during this segment, being balanced. I just talked about a bucketing strategy. If I need money in the next 2 years, I had a gentleman that he actually emailed me, one of my clients. He had a certain amount of money that was in an online savings account. He was earning 4.75%. He emailed me and he said, should I take this money out of this savings account because I don't need it for the next few months? And should I invest it in something that can make me more than 4.75% annually? I simply replied to him and I said, hey, well, here's the deal. We have a moderate portfolio, and I'm going to give you a quick example of this, Jeff, that last year, this particular moderate portfolio went up just over 13%. Mm-hmm. But if I break it down and I look at a 2 month period from August 14 to October 20 of last year, that same portfolio was down 6% in that 2 month period. So if you're looking at it, okay, if I need this money potentially in the next 2 years, I can't invest this in that type of moderate portfolio. I just don't have enough time to make it up. I don't know when it's going to come back or how fast it's going to come back. I just know if I'm looking moderately, I'm going to be looking more at the, you know, 3 to 5 year type plan. But when this client said, you know what, should I be more risky with money I may need after 3 months? No, you shouldn't. There you should be conservative. And if you have a properly constructed plan, investment plan, income plan, you're going to be looking at the next 2 years very conservative. 2 to 5 years, you can look more moderately. If you're looking from 5 to 10 years, you're having more of a growth mindset. You can take some more of that risk because you have your income plan constructed, and then 10 years plus, there you can be riskier, not risky. If I'm looking at a retiree, I'm not going to say, hey, now's a good time to be really risky with your money. But you could take different risks in the market as a result of that income plan that we get constructed.
We're talking about common mistakes that people make before going into retirement with Grant Dorhout of Dorhout Retirement Services. Once again, our telephone number here, 402-281-0750, 402-281-0750. Next one on the list, Grant, is overexposure to one asset class or stock. In other words, not being diversified enough.
Yeah, I just had a very unique experience. I had a new client of mine. They became a client of mine last year, and their mom and dad started a business that now one of the sons actually continues to run because the dad passed away. Well, the mom, mm-hmm. she has a very, very good income, and she has someone that I would call a stock picker that has taken over. He's not really a financial advisor for her, but he has her $4 million, about 30% of that money is sitting in one individual stock.
Wow.
That to me is way, way too far. Now, this particular stock, do I see any huge problems on the horizon? No, but back in the day, people also didn't see a huge problem on the horizon with BP until they had the oil spill, right?
Sure, yeah.
And these things can happen to any individual stock. So if you're overexposed to one particular stock, and to me, it doesn't even matter if it's Berkshire that we are very overly concentrated on. I like to make sure that we don't have more than 5% in any one individual stock like that, because that way, if we're spread out, less susceptible to one thing that we can't predict or control, like an oil spill, from taking down the majority of our portfolio.
If you're listening to the program today and you're thinking to yourself, am I making some of these mistakes? I may need a little help with that. Well, we've got some good news for you. I want you to call 402-281-0750. You can do it this weekend. Leave your name and your telephone number, and Lisa will give you a call back next business day to schedule an appointment for you to sit down with Grant. Just a friendly conversation to ask your questions and put you on a path towards a confident retirement. Once again, it's not going to cost you a dime to do this, and there is no obligation. 402-281-0750. It may improve the quality of your life in a retirement that could last 30 years. Why would you want to make mistakes when you could avoid them? Again, that telephone number to call, 402-281-0750, to request your personalized, no cost, no obligation, no judgment, Peace in Retirement Blueprint. You can also request it online at DorhoutRetirementServices.com. That's D-O-R-H-O-U-T, RetirementServices.com.
Want more straight talk and honest answers about your wealth management and retirement journey? Stay with us. There's more Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout here. We're back with more strategies for a successful retirement. This is the Retirement Blueprint. Once again, here's Grant Dorhout and Jeff Shea.
Grant, we have had a great conversation this morning. We've talked about reverse mortgages, and currently we're talking about 20 mistakes that people make going into retirement. Boy, this has been a great show, and as always, we bit off more than we can chew. Grant, in the beginning of the show, I promised that we would talk about which type of retirement account is likely to run dry, but obviously we're not going to have time for that, so we will hold that off for next week. Okay, let's continue down our path here of retirement mistakes that we do not want our listeners to make. The next one is going to be confusion over how much money to withdraw.
Yeah, Jeff, you ever heard of the 4% rule?
Oh, yeah. Many,
yeah, yeah.
Far too many times than I wish to remember, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This was come up by a guy, his name was William Bangin. He said, hey, you know what? Once you get to retirement, if you have $1 million, just for instance, if someone has $1 million, you should take out $40,000, index it for inflation, you're going to make more money than 4% in the market, and you should be okay. The issue that I have with this is that you have a sequence of returns risk that completely gets ignored. Let's say if someone retired in the 90s and they did the 4% rule, they're going to be totally fine at the end of the 90s if they did the 4% rule with $1 million. But if someone retired in the year 2000 and then the market goes down, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2008, all things that you couldn't predict or control, that 10-year period where the market really didn't go up, that 10-year period with a 4% rule would completely destroy a retirement. So I really don't like the 4% rule. I want to have something with a lot more guarantees, a lot more assurity that I'm going to be able to have a successful retirement and actually say, you know what, this is my income plan that I'm confident in, not that can be completely derailed by something that I couldn't predict or control.
Well, I'm going to add a part B to this question then, Grant. If the 4% rule doesn't work, how do you determine how much money someone can realistically withdraw without running out of money?
I have to have a reliable income source in order to create that, okay? I cannot utilize something that's fluctuating in the market to create something reliable, right? If something's fluctuating, it's not inherently reliable. Over a very long period of time, it might be reliable, maybe 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years. But if I have a retirement that I need income next year, I need something more that can be immediate. So you'd be looking at something that looks more like a pension. Typically, you'll look at utilizing annuity payments out of that side of your income. And if I look at someone's reliable income sources, if their Social Security and if they have pensions, if it equals $60,000, and I need $80,000 or $90,000 or $100,000 per year, I'm going to create that income in a more reliable way than just utilizing the 4% rule. If you're utilizing an annuity, That's really what it was ideally suited for, was to create income. You're not going to make as much money as you would in the market, but the reliability of the income is where the shift in focus goes, so that you can create that reliable income moving forward.
So again, trying to figure out how much money you need to retire on and how much money that you can withdraw, it's a very individualized calculation. Next one on the list here, Grant, is not taking the required minimum distributions.
This is a huge problem if you do it. So if you look at taking money out of your IRAs, they let you wait until 73 right now, where if you don't take it out, you're going to have a penalty, and it's very substantial. If you don't take your required minimum distribution, let's say it's $30,000, they're going to charge you a penalty on everything that you should have taken out. Not a penalty on your entire balance. It's just on what you should have taken out. So make sure you have a plan that's going to satisfy what your required minimum distributions are.
And that penalty used to be 50%, but it's not quite that steep anymore, is it, Grant? Do you know?
Yeah, that penalty, Jeff, used to be a 50% penalty, but Secure Act 2.0, that actually dropped that tax rate or that penalty down to 25%. So it's less bad, but if I have a $40,000 RMD, 25% of that's $10,000. That's a massive penalty.
And another common mistake I think that people make, Grant, is ignoring annuities. They hear all the noise in the radio and the TV about, I hate annuities and you should too. And so they really don't know why they hate annuities. They just hate annuities. But I think ignoring annuities can be a big mistake. How is that a mistake? And tell me a little bit more about how annuities can be used in a retirement plan.
I think it's a huge problem when anyone says that any asset class is really bad and you should never use it. Because there are people out there that say that about annuities. There are people that say that about stocks. There are people that say that about mutual funds. There are people that say that about bonds, that you shouldn't ever utilize any of these things. And that's just flat out not true. If someone needs an income, an ideal pairing for creating a reliable income source is an annuity. That's what it is for. If you have someone that says, hey, you're going to make all this money in annuities, well, I would run from that idea, because if you're utilizing it to make a bunch of money, that's not what an annuity is designed for. That's what the stock market is designed for. If you're looking for creating income, which most people actually need, an annuity is something that could satisfy that need for someone if they want to create a reliable income plan, and you ignore an annuity and you say, I got to do it another way. I got to keep all my money in the market. Well, then you're going to be relying on the 4% rule, and that's not always going to work. It could work, or you could utilize an annuity and create a lot more reliability.
Grant, the next common mistake that people make going into retirement is falling for scams. And unfortunately, they are rather prevalent out there these days.
Yeah, this one really saddens me. I have a client that came to me years ago, and I found out after he became a client that he was getting scammed for significant amounts of money. And the stories that he was told, they gave him this documentation. And yes, it might look official, but you got to really think through, okay, if I give this person X amount of dollars, I don't care if it's $10,000 or $100,000, it doesn't matter. Why on earth would someone from another country make me the beneficiary of anything that I've never heard of?
Yeah.
They just wouldn't.
Crazy.
It's just not out there. And it's really unfortunate. I feel really horrible for those that get scammed, because typically what you'll see is if someone gets scammed once, it's almost a gambler mentality that, okay, I lost that. Now I got to get it back. So I got to put more in order to get it back. And that's where the scammers, they are geniuses at playing your emotions and really getting you to give them more money. They'll start at $500 and then go to $5,000 and then eventually get up to $50,000 or $100,000. And then if you say enough's enough, then they'll actually bait you back in with $5,000.
Yeah.
And it's really, really sad. Don't fall for these scams. If you want someone, if someone tells you anything, I tell my parents, if anyone calls you with all of these great deals, you tell them, hey, I'm going to get my son on the line. If this is a great deal, he will tell me. We will talk with my financial advisor. And this is a standing invitation for all of my clients as well. And they all know it. If they get something that seems too good to be true, they call me and then I get on the phone with them and I scrutinize what these deals may or may not be. And we fish out whether or not it's a scam.
And despite all these warnings, Grant, Americans still lose hundreds of millions of dollars per year to scams. Mm-hmm. That's according to the Federal Trade Commission. And they're using technology to become more inventive with this. And, you know, if you get a call from a grandson or a granddaughter or something saying that they need mm-hmm. money, they're going to put somebody else on the line. They now can sample these kids' voices. I don't know where they get the voices, but they can make them say whatever they want. Yeah.
Yeah, you can recreate someone else's voice. Like, I mean, someone can do that to you. So make sure of these things. They might recreate your grandchild's voice and get this phone recording. It's really sad what's going on.
Next one on the list here, Grant, is underestimating your lifespan. And I think that is a very common one.
Yeah, this is, I have a client of mine. He's an old farmer. He has some farm ground still down by Louisville, and he cracks me up every time he comes in when we talk about doing planning. And I think part of it's just because he likes giving me a hard time. But when I talk about certain things 10 years down the road, you know, he's in his 70s now, but when he was in his 60s, he told me he wasn't going to make 70. And now that he's in his 70s, he says, I don't need to worry about past 80 because I'm not going to make it there. I'm going to be long gone. And the fact is, the average life expectancy is 76 for men and 81 for women. But there's a lot of people that are living into the 90s or past 100. I was talking with my dad just this morning. He's 83. My mom turned 81. They don't show any signs of slowing down. They look, you would never guess them at 83 and 81. And I would say 90 is a very real possibility for my parents. My dad's past life expectancy. Now my mom is at life expectancy. So I would anticipate and I would plan for living to age 100. I think if you get your retirement plan to get you to age 100, I think you're doing really good. And if you pass away before that, well, then there's more money for those that you leave behind, whether it's a church or a charity or your kids or grandkids, that they can deal with it. We just make sure that you make it as long as you can with the money that you have.
And believe it or not, I've got an aunt, Grant, who is now 106 years of age, and she's in pretty good shape. She goes out to eat once or twice a week and so forth. So, yeah, I think she never thought she was going to live past 80. But, yeah, she is 106 and still going strong. God bless her. Final one here on the list, Grant, is not planning for a spouse's death.
Yeah, this one I obviously don't like as well, you know, but you have to plan for the loss of a Social Security check. More importantly, obviously, the loss of a spouse. I mean, emotionally, we're all going to deal with that differently. But when we're dealing from it as a financial advisor, is making sure that you have things in place to protect the surviving spouse, whether it's the man or the woman, it doesn't matter. You got to protect that spouse from having to make big decisions really quickly. I think we've had 5 or 6 death claims in this past year, and the spouses that come in, I tell them all a very similar thing. And everyone that's listening to this, if anyone doesn't talk to you this way, you need to run from them. If someone says you have to decide this right now, within 6 months, most people don't have the ability to make lifelong decisions at that point. So each person that's come in the last 6 months or year, really, we tell them, hey, there's a couple of things that we absolutely have to do, but things that we're going to decide on for long term, we're going to wait a couple months, either 1 or 2 or 3 or even 6 months. I've had that range where it's between 1 and 6 months that people cannot make a logical or well thought out decision after the loss of a spouse. So prepare your retirement plan, prepare your assets, prepare your spouse. And that's part of the estate planning documentation that we had earlier that we talked about. Having this stuff so that you protect your spouse from having to make really significant decisions at a time when they really shouldn't be making those. So replacing a Social Security check with the income, that's one thing, but making sure that they don't have to make decisions when they shouldn't be, that's an entirely different thing that I would highly encourage everyone to think through.
Grant, this has been a very valuable conversation we've had this morning about common mistakes that people make getting into retirement. If our listeners are looking to avoid these mistakes, they think that maybe they're making a few of these, I would invite you to give us a call here at Dorhout Retirement Services and request your no-cost, no-obligation, no-judgment Dorhout Retirement Blueprint. That's right. It's not going to cost you a dime. Make that call this weekend. 402-281-0750 is the number to call. When you call, simply leave your name and your telephone number. Lisa will give you a call back on Monday and gather some basic information from you and set you up with a conversation with Grant to talk about your retirement journey. Once again, it is not going to cost you a dime, but it could help improve the quality of life in a retirement that could last 30 plus years. So what are you waiting for? Make that call right now, 402-281-0750, and reserve your spot. You can also request your complimentary consultation online at dorhoutretirementservices.com. That's DORHOUT retirementservices.com. Well, Grant,
line. We're out of time for this week. I want to thank you for your time, but most of all, I want to thank our great listeners here in the greater Omaha area for joining us. For Grant Dorhout, I'm Jeff Shade. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of the Retirement Blueprint right here on News Talk 1290 COYO.
The opinions voiced in the Retirement Blueprint with Grant Dorhout are for general information and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Examples provided are hypothetical and for illustrative purposes only. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. Investing in an alternative investment may only be suitable for persons who are able to assume the risk of losing a portion or all of their entire investment. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. The performance of any index is not indicative of the performance of any investment and does not consider the effects of inflation and the fees and expenses associated with investing. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Jeff Shade and show guests are not affiliated with CWM LLC.